Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5 as we are getting closer and closer to the end of the book. Last week Peter spoke and was strengthening the preachers that he was writing to, and now he is turning to the members or to the just to the Christian and giving him some encouragement here. And this is something that is applicable to all Christians. And I pray that tonight it will be a blessing to you. I know God's worked in my heart this week as I've been studying and looking at this. We're just going to look at two verses. We're going to consider going through three of them tonight, but I think we're going to wait till next week to look at verse number 7. But tonight we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 5 and 6. These are familiar verses, but these are also something that is we need to apply to our own hearts and our own lives. It's because as we're talking about fighting against pride, talking about humility, talking about humbling ourselves, and boy, that is a hard thing to do. Our flesh is something that really does not want to be humble. Our flesh is someone who does not want to submit. Our flesh is someone who does not want to subject to one another. Our flesh is someone who wants their own way pushed forward and throughout. And that's why it's important, I think, that we look at these passages of scriptures and we take and we think about it and we chew on it and we apply it to our own hearts and lives, because we all deal with the sin of pride. Now, some of us have gotten to the point where we've learned to humble ourselves and be able to fight against it. Some of us have gotten to the point where we are working on it. Some of us think we don't have any pride. And usually when you think that, you know what happens? It means that we do have pride. So let's look here in verses 5 and 6. It says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Like I said, two familiar verses here with some very, very deep, rich meanings. God is trying to strengthen the children here. He's trying to work in the whole church. He's trying to do what he can to help us and help us understand. And you're going to look at, if we look at this passage of scripture, there's a couple things you see here. It says, God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. You know, this is something that we got to understand, that humility is going to help us. Many times people think if we're a humble people that people are going to walk all over us. People are going to say what they want to about us and we never can get even. But the Bible's telling us that if we are humble, God will extend us grace. Not only is he saying that, he says if we're willing to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he actually says he will exalt us. And people think, if I'm humble and if I give in, if I don't stand up for myself, and if I'm not prideful, then people are going to walk all over me. Nothing's ever going to happen good to me. Well, the verses are telling us here is that if we learn to do things God's way, God will then exalt us. And God can do so much more than what we would ever consider or even think that God can do for us. Let's look here. There's three things I want you to look at. First thing is humility is required. Humility is required. Now, what does the word humility mean? I got this from that 1828 dictionary where it says, "Humility consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's unworthiness in the sight of God, submission to divine will." It's understanding who we are and understanding who God is. If we will truly humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we'll realize that we are unworthy and that in the sight of God that we are nothing without him, and humility is required. When you read these two verses, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We see that it actually is saying that it's great, this humble or the humility is something that's required. I thought about the first phrase found in verse number 5. It says here, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." And, you know, what does that mean? You know, there are different scholars who think different ways. And, you know, obviously when I'm studying and researching, I go and look at different books and look at good authors and look at good commentaries, look back at a little bit of understanding about people who understand the Greek and things like that and try to study. And some of the scholars believe this is just in reference to young people in the church. Some people think it's in how they should obey the elder. Some people think it's in reference to everyone in the church in the laity form, and the idea that they're the lay people of the church congregation, and the submission that they should have to the pastor, because the authority that God has given to the pastor in the church. And some people think it involves with Peter's just talking about respect due to age. The day and time that we live in, many times a young person, they're energetic and they're enthusiastic and they have no time for those that are older. They're impatient with those that are intolerant, and they are intolerant with older people because maybe they move a little bit slower, or maybe because they move a little bit more cautious. I'm not sure which one of the three. I think when it uses the word likewise, I think it is comparing to what the role of the pastor is in verses 1-4. But the truth of the matter is God has set up authority and submission and authority in our lives, and he's done it for a reason. He's done it for our good. And I think that the authority, you think of a parent, they are authority over a child, and that parent should care more about that child's well-being than that child does. Sometimes my son might say, hey, I want to go bungee jumping. Now, they never said that, but I bet you if I ask them, they might want to do that. And I might, because I care more about their well-being than they might understand about caring for themselves, I might say, no, you're not going bungee jumping. You know, it's the same type of thing. The government, if it's a good government, is going to care more about the welfare of the people than even the welfare of the people are going to care. They're going to make decisions based on the people's desires and what is best for the people. Unfortunately, that is not what we have in America for the most part today. But when it comes to the church and it comes with the pastor, that many times the pastor's role is one that is going to care for the goodness and the well-being of the people, even sometimes more than they would see for themselves. You know, we have church members who some could really care less about certain parts of the church, and they're like, they have tunnel vision. They're seeing their one ministry. They're seeing their one thing, and this is what they care about. This is what we're worried about. This is what we need to focus on. And that's why the Lord gives us pastors to have the authority and the overseer of the church. And it's there. It's in the Bible. And it's just like the government and just like the parental. It's found there. You know, he talks about obeying them that have the rule over them. He talks about remember them which have rule over you. He talks about esteeming them highly. And I talked about it last week. It's not because I think there's anything special about me, because I told you I don't see myself as anything but more a sinner that's saved by grace. But God puts positions of leadership in our lives for purposes and reasons. And whether it's talking about the younger generation inside of a church, and you know what, that's important in churches. Today we have youth classes, we have youth ministries, we have youth pastors, we have youth this, youth that, and it's important. And I think it's important. But youth group cannot be its own little church. And I've been to places where they have their own church every single service, and they don't take part of the church. They have their own. That's not the way church is supposed to be. And I don't think that's the way it's here. I think it's done with a good balance here. And, you know, you continue to pray that we find the right assistant pastor to help us lead with when it comes to the youth, because we think they are important. But we see these passages of scriptures more than anything. Humility is required. Second thing I want you to see is humility is reasonable. Humility is reasonable. No matter which one you think that it means, when it talks about likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, it's reasonable. You say, why is it reasonable? Well, there's a couple of things I want to look at here. First of all, it's reasonable because Jesus was humble. He showed us an example. If there was anyone who did not or should not have had humbled themselves, it was Jesus. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. But it's reasonable because it's what's best for us. You read this passage of scripture and you see what it says. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. And let that next phrase, that last phrase, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. It's reasonable because it's what's best for us. Because you know what? If you're a prideful person, you know what that's saying? God is saying he is going to resist you. In all reality, if you go and look it up, that's actually a military term. That word is derived from a word that they would use for the military, that they are in full array and they are ready to resist any type of opposition or oppression. And I don't know about you, but I can only imagine what the Bible is saying here. If we have pride, God is going to resist us. So what is the reasonable thing to do?
let's not have pride. I don't know about you and your life. I see the two pictures. I see God here being a loving, kind, gracious God. And he says that he gives grace to them that are humble. And I see him giving his unmerited favor to a certain group of people and saying, okay, this is something that I know that you don't deserve. This is not something that I know that you've earned, but I am going to extend my grace to you. That's the group I want to be in. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I need to be there because I can't be over here where God is resisting me. I need God too much. I need God's word too much. I need God's blessing on my life. I need God's grace. I can't be prideful and have God in a way that he is actually resisting my, when I have a prayer request, when I have a need, when I need to hear from God. I don't know about you, but I need the wisdom of God to be able to direct my family, to be able to direct the church. I need the wisdom of a God of just pretty much every area of my life. And if I'm being prideful, the Bible's saying that God is resisting me. It's not reasonable then for me to continue on being prideful. I need to learn how to be humble. And as we remember what that definition says, humility consists in a lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's unworthiness in the sight of God, submission to divine will. Let's look a little bit more at the verse here. It says, and you see this phrase, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Now, what does that mean? That means that all of us need to be subject to one another. Does that mean that we all have to tell each other what to do? Because that would be kind of difficult. You know, I say one thing and you say something else. Who are you supposed to listen to? Well, the Bible's saying they're subject one to another. I believe, way one preacher put it, subject to one another, believers should not insist on having their way over others. We have to work together. Not one person is not more valuable or more important than the others. Believers should not insist on having their way over others. We need to be subject to one another. We need to be willing to work together and be able to be accountable to one another. Peter knew his heart. Peter, when he's writing these words, we've seen him in the past. He is a very prideful individual. He has seen his pride and he's seen that the Lord has put him right in his place a number of times. God was resisting him, and I still can't get that picture out of my mind. I can't have God resisting me. I need God's help. I need God's grace. I need God's mercy. But when I am prideful, when I think too highly of myself, when I start thinking it's got to be my way that I know better than everybody else, God at that point in time says, I can't help you. I don't know about you, but I need God's help. I need to be over there where God's saying, here, this is the grace. This is not what you deserve, but because I love you, this is what I'm going to give you. And that's what he's saying, be subject to one another. Should you be able to get your way sometimes? Yeah. Is the authority in your life always going to be right? No. But the Bible saying here is, be clothed with humility. This word clothed of humility and this idea of humility of being lowliness of mind, unworthiness in the sight of God, subject to divine will. This idea of clothing, I think clothing is a good thing. I think clothing is functional and it has a purpose to it. And humility is something that we all know, but if we don't put it on, it's not going to help us. I don't know about you, but clothing does not help you at all sitting in the closet, does it? I mean, if you don't put any clothes on, if you don't, it's not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to be functional. It can't help you unless you wear it. When it's worn and needs to be used in a way that it's meant to be used. Some people in God's family says, I know all about humbleness. I all know all about humility. I've heard about it all my life. But it's not hearing about it that blesses us. It's not the fact that I know I have a jacket in the closet back at my house that's going to keep me warm. And it's not the fact that God has told me that humility and humbleness is going to help me in my Christian life that's going to make a difference. It's when I put it on. And I know all of us probably have something in our closet back somewhere, probably covered with dust. And there's some things we just don't wear. Some of it might be because we don't fit into it too much. Maybe it's too big. Maybe it's too small. But sometimes there's, I don't know, some type of present you got, or maybe you went through a certain phase and there are certain clothes that you leave that sitting back there in the closet and you don't consider putting it on anymore. It's not really helping anybody, is it? That's what most people do with humility and humbleness. They know it's sitting there. They put it in the closet and they no longer desire to wear it. But when we wear humility and humble ourselves before the Lord, we wear it well. You say, how is that being reasonable? I think it's pretty reasonable to think that if God is resisting me, then I need to stop being prideful, because reasonably, I need God's help. There is no other choice. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do for the Lord if He's not helping me. And I can't raise my family right. I can't be the right witness. I can't minister in any way, shape, or form. So it's reasonable that we get rid of pride so God can give us grace. But also, I want you to think it's reasonable because what Jesus did. You think about the story of Jesus. If there was anyone who should have not had to be humbled at all, it was the guy who created us, the God that created us. But you think about it, as a 12-year-old boy, Mary and Joseph come looking for him. And what does it say? It says that he went home and he submitted himself to them. Should he had to? I mean, he was the one that created the world. Should he have really had to listen to Mary and Joseph, who were sinners, and he knew about their sins? He knew the things that they had done wrong. He was going to be ready to die for them, 21 years later? Should he have? No. But what did he do? He did what God told him to do. You think about it. Jesus, as he went and humbled himself, I think about that night when he went and washed the disciples' feet. Clothed of humility actually literally means the wearing the apron of a slave. True humility before the Lord merely means assuming the place of a servant or a slave. Isn't that what Jesus did? He laid aside his garments. He took on he girded himself with it, and then he took the towel and he washed the disciples' feet, and he was teaching them something. What was he teaching them? Was he teaching them that everybody should wash one another's feet when they come into the church service? I don't think that's what he was teaching them. I think what he was teaching them, look, if I, your Lord, and if I, your master, if I, who is God, is willing to humble myself and do the work of a servant, then how much more should you, the servant, be willing to humble themselves and do whatever God asks you to do? See, it's reasonable because Jesus showed us by example. He didn't just be a God that says, here, you do what I say, not what I did. He came to this world. He became a man for us, and he showed us how to be a servant. I think Paul, he wrote it so well when he wrote, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, it says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Paul says here, describing what Jesus Christ did, he humbled himself. When he became a man, what did he do? Did he lift himself up? Did he say, look at my miracles, look at my teaching, I deserve to be king? No, he humbled himself as a man. He taught us something. Did he have the right? He had every right in the world. He could have done whatever he wanted to, but he humbled himself for the purpose that God gave him. And so that's Jesus. He was God. Of course, they wouldn't expect that from us. But we know he does. When the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He expects that from us. He asks that from us. He demands it from us. He says, look, I want you to look at the world the same way I did. I want you to be a help. I want you to reach them. I want you to be willing to humble yourselves just like I did. Reasonable, because he did it for us first. It's not only is it a required thing, it's reasonable, number one, because we need it. We don't need to be resisting God. We do not need to have our own way and push our way through. We do not need to be thinking too highly of ourselves. We need to see who God is and who we are, humbly fall on our face and say, God, I know that I'm not worthy. I need your help, because God, I can't take you resisting me. I don't know what to do in the world I live in. God, the world's going crazy, and I have no idea what the next step should be. My family's not doing what I think they should. Things are not going the way I thought they would at work. I need to hear from you about church. I need to hear from you for all these different things. God, we need him so much, we can't take the chance to have him resist us. Instead, I so much more would rather be over here and saying, okay, God looking at me and saying, look, he's humble. He's willing to work. Let me extend to him the grace that he doesn't deserve. The third thing. The third thing is humility is rewarded. You say that the grace that God's offering isn't reward enough. It is. It is. But it's continued in verse number 6. It says in verse number 6, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And as you humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, look what happens, that he may exalt you in due time. See, some of the reasons why we like to be prideful, we like to get our way. Especially if we have a little bit of authority, especially if we have a little bit of a right, especially if we have something that's coming to us. But here, he tells us that if we are willing to become last, if we're willing to be the servant, that's the type of person he can use. He says, that's the person that I will exalt in my time. Take our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 23. When Peter is writing this, I'm sure he remembered the number of times that Jesus spoke about this in dealing with the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter number 23, he pretty much puts the Pharisees in their place and teaches them something. I think it'd be important for us to look at and understand. You might say, Pastor, I'm not like these Pharisees. I understand that. But when pride enters our heart, pride is a very, very dangerous thing. I mean, there are so many warnings about it. Even Jesus talked about the things that are an abomination to him. He says, six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And what's that first thing? A proud look. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Proverbs chapter 3:34, the Bible says, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The Pharisees, they were the scorners. The Pharisees were the prideful ones. Let's look what Jesus says to them. And you could have picked a number of passages, but look here in Matthew 23, verses 1 through 12. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, to the scribes and the Pharisees sit in the Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Now, why would he tell them to listen to the scribes and Pharisees? Well, they were in this position of authority. They were supposed to listen to the religious leader of the day. And when it came to the law and came to the things that they were forcing on them, he says, you need to follow after them because of the authority they have. But look at that next phrase. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Say, Pastor, where does that have anything to do with pride? I want you to show you what a prideful person becomes. It's a person who you have to look at and say, look, I might need to listen to them, but I'm not going to do the same things they do because they talk and say one thing, but they do something completely different. They become unreasonable, as it says in verse number 4, verse number 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They have a purpose, and that purpose causes people to become angry or frustrated or to be able to hate even the things of God, as we saw in the life of Eli's sons. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Look at, and they love, it says, love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. And to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. You know, they were prideful. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You see, in this passage of Scripture, the Lord teaches us once again through the Pharisees, this is what's going to happen to you if you become prideful. And if you really think you're something special, then we need to become a servant. That's what it says in verses 11 and 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be a servant. That if you have an authority in your life, you should be willing to serve. As a pastor, I should be willing to serve just as much, if not in a greater capacity than anyone else. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. He's saying, look, you will be exalted if you take the role of humility. One last thing here when it comes to in the Gospels. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, the Lord gives a parable here. And in this parable, he teaches them a lesson that I think would be good for us to look at. Luke chapter 14, verses 8 through 11. Luke chapter 14, verses 8 through 11. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We see what's going on in this story. This man invites people to a wedding, and back in Bible times, they had seats of preeminence. There were people who sat on the front row, Miss Patty. Isn't that good? That's a seat of preeminence. That's a spot. That's where you need to get in there and sit, up all the way up front, right? Yeah, see, Miss Patty agrees at least. Miss Kathy's sitting there too. But if they had seats, but back then it showed the value of the gift, how highly exalted they were. I think of a wedding here. What do? We usually put the bride's mom and dad and the groom's mom and dad really right up close in front. Why is that? That's a seat of priority. And the story is saying is that don't think so highly of yourself that when you enter into a room that you are something special and you're going to go sit in one of those highly exalted spots, because there might come somebody behind you that deserves that spot more, and they're going to take you and move you all the way to the back. And the Bible's saying, Jesus is saying here, start off back here. And if the person who invites you wants you to be exalted, let somebody else exalt you. Let somebody else lift you up. Let somebody else bring you to the front. But so often, we like to think, okay, where do I deserve to be? This is where I think I should be at. The Bible teaches us to be humble. Because the Bible says if we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt us in due time. Think about the Bible, some couple Bible characters, and we'll be done. I love the stories of how God uses people that no one else thought would be used. So you think about our story on Sunday mornings and with Joseph. He was humbled. And he was humbled at the same time of all the things that were going on. You know, he went and he was humbled. He went through Potiphar. He was sold, thrown in this pit. He was coming to his brothers, just demonstrating love, doing what his father said, thrown in the pit, sold to Potiphar, thrown in the prison, and then God exalted him in his due time. Joseph did not demand his rights. Joseph did not try to force himself. He was humble, and God lifted him up. You think about the story of what God had to do with those 10 brothers. And remember that message from this past Sunday morning where it says, what is this that God hath done unto us? And that God was letting things happen to Joseph's brothers, and it was coming to a reminder, and it was saying, why did God allow this to happen to us? And God was helping them understand, you got some pride in your life. You got some sin in your life. You got something there that you thought that you did not have to listen to Joseph anymore, and you wanted to get rid of him. He didn't deserve to have his dreams, and he didn't deserve to wear that coat of many colors. He didn't deserve to have all this, and you got rid of him. And they're saying, what is this that God hath done unto us? What is it that God's bringing into your life to show you the things you need to change? Believe me, that this message this past Sunday morning helped me to understand that God brings things in our lives and allows things to happen to us to show and to teach us what we need to change. You think about the story of David. David in that cave, he had every opportunity to knock Saul off. Even his mighty men that were around there saying, hey, look, it's your time. God hath delivered him to you. But what did David? He's like, I'm not going to touch the hand of God's man. He was humbled. And what did God do? God said, okay, David, let me lift you up. David was a humble person. You can imagine that in chapter 16, he was anointed king of Israel. Where do we find him in chapter 17? He was out in the pasture taking care of his dad's sheep. And what his older brother even said, those few sheep. He was humbled. What did God do with him? God lifted him up. You know, there's many people in the Bible. You think about the story of Joshua. Joshua was a great leader. Why was Joshua a great leader? Because he first was willing to be Moses' minister. He was willing to be a servant first. And I think to really, truly, to ever be exalted to a position where you can be a good leader, you first have to learn how to be a follower. Let me help you, kids. If you ever want to be a good mother, you need to learn how to be a good daughter. If you ever want to be a good father, you need to learn how to be a good son. If you ever want to learn how to be a good leader, you need to be able to learn how to be a good follower. Because God says, if you'll humble yourselves, if you'll do things the way that God wants you to do them and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It's not as much as humbling yourself and listening to your parents. It's saying, that's what God wants me to do, so I'm going to do it. It's not as much as saying, hey, I think I got the greatest pastor in the world. I'm going to do it. No, it's following God's direction. It's not about who your boss is. It's about doing it as unto the Lord. It's not about who your government it is. It's doing it as unto the Lord. And he says, if you learn to humble yourself under my mighty hand, he says, then I can lift you up. And I think about the story of Samson. Samson did some pretty cool things. If I was Samson, I had all that strength, and I don't. But to tie those fox tails together, that was pretty cool. I mean, to be able to take, these guys think they have him trapped in the city, and to put the gates of the city and carry it up the top of the hill. I mean, that would be pretty awesome, wasn't it? And Samson thought pretty highly of himself. He had a pretty big ego. But when Samson was humbled, and when he truly saw God's glory, you know what God was able to do with that man? And just, I don't know, 5 minutes of time when he knocked down that house, he was able to use Samson in a greater way because he was humbled in 5 minutes than he could do with him life in 30 years. Why is that? It's because he finally learned to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. And then God lifted him up. You say, well, Samson died. He was able to do much more in his death than he ever did with a prideful life. I want you to leave with this picture in your mind. Do you want to be on the side where God's saying, I can't help you till you get something right? I know you need my wisdom. I know you need my blessings. You need my provision. You need all these things. But since you have pride in your life, I'm resisting you. And if you go back and you study the word out, it's talking about army. It's actually talking about being ready for battle and war gear, whatever that is. And you say, nope, I can't help you. Or do you want to be over here where you have a loving God who sent his son down on the cross to die for you and say, here's grace. You don't deserve it, but because you're willing to accept what I have for you when it comes to authority in your life, and you're willing to see and fight your flesh and not have pride in your heart and life, I want to give this to you. I want you to have this. I want to be able to lift you up. Now, to some of us, we're not going to be king of Israel. Some of us hopefully aren't going to be like Samson and in our death do something great. Have to die to do something greater, or like Joseph be prime minister of Egypt. But God can do so much more in our lives than we could ever even imagine or think, if we're willing to humble ourselves, not to think so highly of ourselves, not to try to push our rights, not to say, hey, this is what I deserve. Go back to the cross. It's not what he deserved. I love the story when he's talking to Pilate. It's a very interesting interview. And I love when Pilate says, I had the ability to kill you. And Pilate's like, you have no authority except it coming from above. This is where we need to get. We have nothing except for what comes from above. And if we'll learn to say, God, I see who you are and I see who I am, help me, Lord, to be humble. Help me to say, live a life that has a heart of humility so God can bless me. I need the blessings of God, but I know that I don't need God resisting me. I know that I need God's grace and God's mercy and God's wisdom, but I'm not going to be able to do anything if God's not helping me at all. God resisteth the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble thyself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.